As we roll down this unfamiliar road, and although this wave is stringing us along, just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
Well, good morning again. I know it's kind of like the Jeremy show. I apologize for that. Announcements, communion, offering. But we want to move on now. We want to conclude our Faith Begins at Home series. And we want to do it by focusing on one particular kind of prevalent scenario, and that is the blended family, the step family. And just really quick, a couple reminders before we get to Ted here and I introduce him, and then we get to kind of the meat of all of this. Well, just a verse out of Matthew where this is what's said about Jesus, and they're questioning him. They're questioning, you know, whether or not he's the Lord and the Son of God. But nonetheless, we see some evidence of who he is. It says this in Matthew 13:55. Isn't this the carpenter's son, Joseph's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And aren't all of his sisters with us? And what we see in this verse is a very clear reminder. And as we understand and believe in the virgin birth, what we see here is that Jesus Christ came from a step family. His father was not Joseph, but yet he was raised in a home with a stepfather and then with half siblings. And so what's interesting and hopeful for those of us that live in the step family situation is that from a step family emerged the Savior of the world. And that all hope is not lost when a family may not look like the way we expected it to, or a family may not look like what God originally expected it to. What we also see is that God cares so much for the family, and he has written into the family so much importance that God created for himself one. I mean, think about it. God could do whatever he wants, being holy, being set apart, being outside of time and space, and being the creator of everything that we see. He could have created this adult being to just come and say, I'm Jesus, the Son of God, and I'm here now to change the world. But instead, he brought him into a family. And the family got to raise Jesus and experience exactly what God intended for the family, which is companionship and spiritual development and nurture, which has been this entire crux of the series, is that clearly what we see in Deuteronomy 6 and Psalm 78, and later on when Paul writes to the Ephesians and the Colossians, that it's on us parents, moms and dads, to be developing and nurturing the spiritual growth of our children. The church exists to support parents in that endeavor. But ultimately, it's parents, moms and dads, who are going to have to look God in the eye and answer to whether or not we've taken our job as parents seriously and literally. And so we want to continue that as we conclude this series. And finally, out of Luke 2, we see that out of this step family, Jesus continued to grow. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. In fact, someone once said that that marriage and family life are spiritual disciplines to disciple us, being that it's a discipline that we can experience and manifest it and work into and become a practice in our life, much like prayer or fasting. You know, it can be a discipline in our life to lead us closer to the presence of God. That God has written into family that size of responsibility. We want to talk specifically about step families. We want to honor the fact that step families exist. You know my story quite well. I've been very, very transparent from the stage that I come from a step family. My parents divorced when I was about 11 years old, and both my parents got remarried when I was about 12 or 13 years old, and have remained married to this point. So my family even kind of breaks the mold of some of the trends out there with divorce and remarriage and then re-divorce and so on and so forth. And so I guess I count myself out of the brokenness there, very lucky. But just a couple quick numbers, and then we're going to get to it, and I'll introduce this guy over here who's right now just sitting here looking pretty, isn't he? Yeah. Currently, there are about 100 million Americans that have a step relationship. So that's a step brother or sister, a step parent, a step grandparent. Eventually, it's believed by experts that that number will rise to 175 million. And so that's a huge number. That's a huge part of our population. And that is really the point is that step families are becoming a lot more the norm than the exception. In the 70s, when it was going down in my home, I thought my brother and I were the only kids going through it. It felt like we were the only family. I'd never heard of it before. None of my friends ever talked about it. I never saw it depicted on TV, and if I did, I wasn't paying attention, you know? And so at the time, I felt like I was going, but there's 100 million, up to 175 million. This number here really hit me as somebody now that has the opportunity to perform weddings, that approximately one-third of all weddings performed in America form a step family. That we are just rapidly forming step families left and right. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just we need to recognize that and own it and appreciate it and find a way to minister and love those step families. One-third of all households today involve step children. So it's safe to say that with these numbers, whether you're in a step family or a step relationship or not, chances are you know somebody that is, maybe a relative, maybe your neighbors, the parents of some of your kids' friends at school. So maybe you coach with one in Little League, whatever. You know, that we are all impacted to some degree. If we're not the individual in it, we're impacted closely by somebody. So step family is quickly becoming more the norm than the exception. And we want to speak to this. And I would like to introduce a good friend of mine, a good friend of Victor Valley Christian Church. In fact, years ago, Ted played guitar here on stage when I was leading worship. And the context of his life changed. He was finishing up his studies, you know, and so he just found himself somewhere else. But that doesn't mean he still can't work with us. And please welcome, and then we'll talk more. Please welcome, if you would, Ted Heberlin, licensed marriage family therapist.
Thank you very much.
Yes, please.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And for about the next 25, 30 minutes, we're just going to have a dialogue and hopefully hit some things that are going to help you either go home with or help you speak into some other family relationships, friends. So really quick, go ahead and share who you are. You got about 15 seconds. No, share who you are, your story, and we'll go from there.
Well, in doing this, I didn't really think step family issues affected my life so much until I started talking with Jeremy and we were planning this. And in the last couple of days, I realized that even though my parents have been married 54 years, I've been married 30 years, I had a step-grandfather. My mom's dad died when I was four. I have a half-brother from my dad's previous marriage that's 12 or 13 years older than me. And I have all six of my nephews and nieces were from out-of-wedlock marriages and to some extent raised by grandparents as well. So I guess, they did some studies that said therapists come from more than average dysfunctional families, so I probably qualify and fit there.
Way to step up. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Way to represent. Well, Ted, we are glad that you are here. Last hour went really well. We got some very positive feedback, so we hope and pray that you are blessed in the same way. And even if there's just one thing you take from this, if you are in a step relationship or if your home is a step home, we just hope that you find that nugget and you're able to be blessed as a result of it. So let's just dive right in. You know, we know that, even the original family, traditional family scenario where there is no brokenness, so to speak, even that alone has challenges. And raising kids, of course, especially to raise kids to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind, you know, as we're called to raise them, that alone has its own challenges. But there's some unique challenges specifically to a step family.
Yes.
And could you speak into those challenges, maybe what the most significant challenge might be?
Well, I think the toughest thing is expectations of how quickly the relationships are going to gel. How long do we give ourselves to figure out to do a step family? Do we give ourselves 6 months or a year? And Ron Deal, a guy who I'm going to be quoting a lot of his ideas, or I stole a lot of his ideas, he has a website called smartstepfamilies.com. In talking about this, he says, well, why don't you think about taking 7 years to blend a family? So instead of even that terminology of, blended family, does that mean we're going to put everybody into a blender and come out with the Brady Bunch? No, if you put somebody in a blender, they're going to get creamed. It's more like cooking with a crock pot. A crock pot is long amount of time, low heat, and giving all the food time to develop and blend in there. So I think that's a big thing to think about, of just the time factor and the expectations of how close everybody's going to be and how soon.
Because the tendency, you know, going and using my story a little bit, the tendency is to just kind of get everyone together and expect everyone to be okay with it, to deal with it, and to work out those relational issues.
Yeah.
You know, you would probably say, or are about to say, you know, we can't expect that. So go ahead and develop the blender crock pot idea a little bit more.
Well,
what do you mean?
I think we kind of get a tough idea even from the Brady Bunch, you know, that old show, if you're old enough to know that one. She has three kids, he has three kids. They're a happy couple together, and I think a lot of couples expect that if they're happy, then the kids are going to be happy, you know, and they don't realize the losses that the kids have been through. They try to put everybody in the blender, and instead of the Brady Bunch coming out, maybe you have something that looks more like the Brady Bunch from hell coming out and wondering what did we all do here, and just sort of adjusting that expectation and being more realistic of dealing with especially the kids' losses.
So appreciating and understanding that everyone's hurt.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yes.
No matter the content, you know, let's even back up for a second. And we understand, too, that blended families exist for other reasons than just divorce. That's, of course, my story as you've heard it. But, you know, there's circumstances, you know, unfortunate and untimely death, and then a remarriage, children being born outside of marriage, and then a parent marrying, you know, later on in life. And so there's the foster families, adoption, bringing another child in. And so there's just all kinds of different scenarios. And so we don't want to just simply focus only on a divorced situation, that many of us are in this room for different reasons in a step relationship.
Yes.
But would you say in all of those, there's a sense of loss and grief, no matter what the, obviously in a death situation there is, but
I think there can be there is and there can be different ones. There can be real physical traumatic losses, or there can be things emotionally to each person that just feel like a huge emotional trauma. And it might be tough for a parent to see that a kid is still working through grief and loss. And maybe it's another reason why the crock pot analogy works, is I think when you lose a family member, you expect everybody to go through it in their own time and take their time to grieve and work through these stages as many times as they need to. But sometimes with kids, and sometimes with, especially with these family situations, we don't really take time to talk with them and see exactly how it's affecting them and what's going on in their little world that could be devastating.
And last hour, you referred to, you know, from the child's perspective, if there's a remarriage, no matter why there's a potential remarriage, whether divorce or death or other situation, that oftentimes that can be viewed almost like a funeral.
Yeah, it can be. And I think stories of step-parents who, well, I don't understand. Your kids loved me before we got married. And then after we got married, now all the acting out starts. Now that the real family thing begins, it seems like they hate me. And sometimes that's just the realization of that's the end of my dreams for the family coming back. A lot of times when I'm working with people just in regular grief and loss situations, one of the biggest problems or the bottom line effect of it ends up being, okay, my old world is gone and I'm living in a new world. But I really want my darned old world back.
Yeah.
And being able to accept it, being able to relocate the old world in a different place in your heart and reinvest in life, it doesn't sound like something we'd be asking an 8 or 5 or 6 year old to do, but in some ways we're asking them to do that in these situations. So
yeah, that's interesting. And in fact, I've had, you know, a good half hour to think about it after you said it. And I mean, that's exactly what I think, that when my parents remarried, that was, as you said, the end of the dream. Like, my prayer will not be answered in that mom and dad are getting back together.
Yeah.
You know, I can pray it till I'm blue in the face. It's over.
Yeah.
And there is a grief there, a loss there.
Yeah.
And so that's a huge point that, mm-hmm. you know, for them, their wedding day was the huge victory.
New beginning.
Yeah, very excited. You know, they found someone that made them happy. But, you know, for the child, it's a different set of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody, but that can happen.
Yes.
Yeah. So realistically then, as parents in a step relationship, and I guess even as the child in a step relationship, what is a realistic expectation? Should we just, the blender would say, I'm your stepdad, deal with it.
Right.
And everything I say now goes.
Mm-hmm.
The crock pot wouldn't necessarily say that. So what would be some expectations?
I think a great way to look at it, especially for parents and step-parents, is thinking of different levels of authority as a parent. I think when you start out as a step-parent, it might be better to come in thinking you've got the same level of authority as a babysitter. Well, you need to do this because your mom said so, and I'm just making sure what she said happens. You know, the next level, you might be able to be given the authority of a loved aunt or uncle in a child's life, a biological aunt or uncle. And then the next level of authority would be full parent status. And if you meet a kid when they're 15 or 16, that may never happen. It may never need to happen. If you meet them when they're one or two or five, it may be a much easier, more natural progression. But to go in expecting just to have parental authority and parental discipline and everything like that can really almost, instead of making it a crock pot, can make it a pressure cooker type situation.
Yeah.
So.
And so it's almost as easy as this, have a plan. Don't assume anything. And it's okay, you'd say, it's okay if, let's say we have some step-family relationships here right now, and they're in the blender, and they're getting creamed. In fact, this might be the only moment they're not creamed all week, you know. What would you say to them? Is it okay to back off, keep it up, you're going to, you know, what would you say to them? I would say,
and you still have your family rules and roles and disciplines and chores and things that need to get done, but as far as the statuses of all the relationships and how everybody's going to get along. I mean, you know, food in a crock pot, a potato is going to cook faster than a carrot. You might have a kid that's hard and more like a carrot dealing with losses, just depending on the age and development, what's going on. I'd say being able to just relax, think long-term marathon. My mother-in-law was a soul food cook, and I asked her how she did it, and she said, low and slow, baby, low and slow. You know, and just low heat, long period of time. So, and that can give everybody a little bit of room to blend more naturally and really take a long-term view of it.
And she called you baby?
I don't know. I made that up.
Okay.
Yeah, she probably. Yeah. I would call you baby, probably.
Not,
Jeremy baby, low and slow. Yeah.
No, Ted, no.
Yeah, no, don't do that?
No.
Okay, sorry.
You just derailed
it's a
everything.
Musician
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Everything's over.
So you've already alluded to trying to get the train back on the tracks here. You've already alluded to that it probably isn't even a fair expectation to get back to expectations that an older child would have a much different relationship than a younger child, depending on when either the trauma of a divorce or the loss of a parent or whatever, or even the introduction of the step parent. You know, a teenager is going to relate probably for the rest of his or her life differently to that step parent than, say, a five-year-old.
I would say so, but then I would also watch for maybe different. Another great quote from Ron Deal is loss is developmental. So at different times in your life, the same loss could hit you in different ways. Even if your parents divorced or you lost a parent when you were two, when you're getting married or going to school, that loss might hit you harder than it does when you're five. Or maybe the older kid can be closer, and you can be really a parent figure to them when they're in their 30s or 40s. So I think being able to take this long-term view and not expect that it's just going to be like a first family or an extended family, but that it's going to change over time depending on things.
Yeah. And, you know, the more time a child has to build that relationship or the step-parent has to invest as the babysitter, then the aunt or the uncle, and then potentially the full-blown parent,
yeah.
You know, there's probably a more of that possibility, but it can't happen. I guess the overarching point, that to expect it to happen overnight is not fair to the parent or the child, regardless of the age.
It's a tough thing, and I think a lot of times we think of parenting in terms of control, you know, and power, instead of thinking of it as authority is something that you can only be given. It's not something that you take. You take power or you take control. But authority is something that we give each other, the right to be in that leadership position. So it's something that has to be earned. And I think, again, the thinking of patience and thinking of, hey, this is not a control type thing where you can go in and fix everything. And that might lead into some basic human needs, too, that we all have.
And those would be, go ahead.
Well, we have a slide, and I got this from Mark Lasser, L-A-S-S-E-R. He's a Christian psychologist and actually a sex addiction therapist. He has quite a testimony. But he came up with these in response to the men are from Mars, women are from Venus, gender-based differences. And the Christian version of the gender-based differences, which is true, is women need love, men need respect. It says this in Ephesians, and I think it's a great way to run our families. But he also says, well, what if there's some basic human needs that we all have that are God-given needs, whether we're male or female or across cultures? So he came up with, we all need to feel heard and understood. We all need to feel blessed and praised, experience affirmation. We all need safety. We all need healthy touch, and we all need to feel chosen and included.
And these are universal across the board.
I think if you think about it, they're pretty universal. There are some interesting relationships between some of the needs. And I have a scale up at the top there. It goes from 0 to positive 10 on the needs and 0 to negative 10 on each of the needs. And sometimes maybe you could think of even your own life as you look at this. Where have you been most of your life in general on heard and understood or safety or chosen and includedness? And I think a lot of people, and even why a lot of families break up, is people are in negative territory in some of these needs. And maybe the parents have been in negative territory since they were children. So it's something to really look at, and I think it'd be a helpful way to maybe look at the needs of the kids and look at the needs of the parents in a step-family situation.
And so Mark Lasser? Lasson?
Lasser, L-A-S-S-E-R, yeah.
So his premise and his wife, premise who helped write the book, would be that the original family is an ideal place for humans to receive and have fulfilled these basic needs. Now, it doesn't mean it can't happen in friendships, a working relationship at work or whatnot, but ideally, you know, as parents, we should be fulfilling these with our kids. As spouses, we should be fulfilling that with our spouses. But as we know, we're imperfect.
Right.
And it's quite likely, as you alluded to, that all of these or none of these are being fulfilled in the home.
Right.
Which causes a problem. Now, is it fair to, if that's the ideal for the original traditional family as God mapped it out to be originally, is it fair then for this to even be an expectation in a step family situation?
I think it really is, because a lot of what they're talking about in the book is there's certain ways that only God can meet each of these needs in us. There's certain ways that only family and friends, and there's certain ways that only a spouse could meet those needs in each of us. And you do start to run into trouble if you're starting to try to get primary needs met, the needs the way that only God can meet these needs. If you try to get those from any other person, are you going to be disappointed? Yeah, it'll almost be like asking them to change the weather, you know. And I can't change the weather for my spouse or nephews and nieces, but could I hold an umbrella for them, right, as they're going through it? It's similar to when I think the best example, when you have a baby and the baby's crying, it could be five or six different reasons that the baby's crying. Sometimes do you ever figure out why the baby was crying? No. But you go and pick it up, and then the baby learns that the needs will be attended to. So not feeling like we have to fix all of these because we can't, but that we can attend to them, and we can get some of these needs met from God and other people if a certain parental figure is not able to do it for one reason or another.
And it might be, you know, maybe a step-parent, depending on the relationship with those kids and the blender crockpot idea and where they are in their relationship. But, I mean, it might be like a step-parent could recognize some of these in their stepchild, the yeah. need, and, you know, might be able to say, well, I can't, right now, where the relationship is, I can't, you know, I might not be able to fulfill one of these, but I can make them feel included. I can make them, I can affirm them.
Yeah.
You know, the blessing, yeah. as we understand it, might be more from the biological parent or eventually from the step-parent if that relationship works out. But, I mean, it might not be a bad challenge for maybe a step-parent to look at these and say, there's some of those that I can right now recognize yeah. as a need in my home.
Yeah.
And in the context of the relationship as it exists, I can speak into that, which would then, would it not, speak into that relationship being fostered and working towards becoming less of the babysitter, more of the aunt and uncle, and then working towards
some of that authority. I think it's huge to do that. And I think especially if a stepchild is acting out and you are, you know, you're a step parent, which is a thankless job sometimes, just being able to maybe help the kid get from -6 on safety to -4 or -5, or give him some pats on the back, and you're a great kid, regardless if he's not coming from an affirmation or a blessing-rich environment, and to just be able to help him through that. You can't change the situation and the loss and grief, but again, you can hold an umbrella
yeah.
for each other, and I think that's a big thing in any family, but especially step-families.
One last thing, and you know, time just flies, and we are running out of it.
Okay.
You know, as anyone who's been here knows, you know, I come from a broken home, and as I look back and I look at these 7 desires, and you've led me to that book, and I'm halfway through it now, and it's a pretty good book. And
mm-hmm.
thanks for all the tears.
No problem.
But I feel like anytime. You know, I do feel like looking back that. I say it this way, that my home was blown up and destroyed. And I've said it that way, which may not be fair to my parents, but that's the way I saw it.
That's how it hit you.
As a child. And as I look at these, I feel like the safety was gone.
Yeah.
That where I went to be safe and to be affirmed and to be blessed, all that was gone in a moment when Dad left. And as I look back, you know, 30 years later, and see the redemption that has come out of that, that what looks like in the eyes of an 11 or 12-year-old young boy at the moment will just look like a nuclear bomb went off in my home and in my life. As I look back, I see God's hand in all of it. Not that God caused it. He allowed it to happen. And we weren't even a faithful family at the time. If you'd asked us, do we believe? We said, yeah, we believe, but it didn't matter to us at the point. But looking back, you know, you may or may not appreciate this. You may look at whatever. I would not be here. I am confident that I would not be here today or anywhere in ministry today if it weren't for the divorce of my parents. And that doesn't make sense to me at all. Because it was through the death of my stepfather's father that we wound up at a church in Roland Heights, where that's then the youth group that I found myself in, where I found myself now getting some of these desires of my heart
yeah.
taken care of. I was affirmed there. It was a safe place. I could be who I needed to be, and I could mm-hmm. vent and be angry and cry, and but they accepted me. You know? And I mean, the church just really stepped in, unbeknownst to them. I don't even think they knew what they were doing, but unbeknownst to them, and just really nurtured this spiritual development in me that I wasn't getting at home.
Yeah.
And I look back, and I just see the hands of God all over it, you know. And then through there, I've baptized my dad and my brother and nieces, and mm-hmm. I mean, just in this nuclear bomb situation, God has worked all things for His good and His glory.
Yeah.
And that makes no sense. Just no sense whatsoever. And I know my story may be a lot like yours, you know. And you might be sitting there right now in a what seems like a hopeless situation where everything is just collapsing around you, but God is there. You may not see Him, you may not feel Him, you may not recognize Him, but God is there. And that's what I wanted you to hopefully to get out of this week. And you had a great saying last hour. I want to make sure you say it this time about the crazy family.
Yeah.
And go ahead and use that. We're a crazy family. That's our next series, My Crazy Family.
This reminds me, though, and it's another thing I got from Ron Deal, is how stepfamilies are a great example of how God uses our crazy stories, our crazy family stories, as part of his perfect story and perfect plan of redemption.
Isn't that great? Yeah. I mean, I love that. That our crazy stories, our brokenness, our dysfunction, whatever.
And if you want proof, just try to look in the Bible to find the perfect family that did everything right.
Right.
And start at Hebrews 11 of the Faith Hall of Fame and go look them all up in the Old Testament. And some of those stories, you know, you wouldn't even want your kids necessarily to read the straight version.
Yeah. Any wives.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and a lot of stuff.
Which is interesting, you know, so the church has always gone to in the gay marriage debate, you know, well, we stand for biblical marriage. Well, which one? Because none of them were all that great, you know, and so that's where, you know, I watch the news, like, stop saying that, because, you know, so-and-so had 35 wives, you know, and multiple kids, and some of them were sent out to the desert without a blessing, and some are blessed, and you've got brokenness all over the place. But to your point, God is using the craziness for his perfect story.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just that helped me work through 40 years, 30 years of just hurt and damage, you know, that my brokenness is part of God's perfect story, as is all of ours, whatever the story is. You know, we're out of time, but, you know, what you're saying there at the end is that redemption can emerge.
Definitely.
If you want to, really quick, just 1 minute.
Well, and I think the more hurt, the more loss, the more trauma, the more possibility for redemption. And I guess it's just another great reason to really have a heart for step families and blended families. The church is a blended family, and also to help these parents too, because, you know, everybody knows the statistics on first marriages. It's about 50% end in divorce. Second marriages, it's 60. Third is getting up to 70, 75%. And now we're talking about people being in multiple blenders or crockpots, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But being able to really help and minister to these families, help them to be easier on themselves, take care of themselves, and just hang in there with each other with patience and forgiveness and grace.
Amen, bro. Amen. Appreciate it. Will you give Ted a hand, please?
Thank you.
We thank you for taking some time being with us this morning in both of our hours. And, you know, just as we wrap this up in the last 2 minutes, everything that's been said to this point in this series, as far as parents, it starts with you to be the example. It starts with you to love God first. All that applies in the step family. That still, our children, whether they're step or biological, whether they're adopted or foster, whether it's a single parent situation, they're looking to you to set the example for them. And we can set for them a cycle of divorce and remarriage and then divorce again. We can set for them a cycle of not caring about the church. We can set for them a cycle of, you know, meeting or not meeting these seven desires of every human heart. You know, it starts with us, no matter the context of our home, whether we go home to a step scenario or not. And so we wanted to recognize that step families do exist, and you are honored, and we thank you. You know, I am blessed to have two step parents who've pretty much adopted me and my brother and accepted us as their very own after all this time. It wasn't easy. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of, hey, you're not my mom. Hey, you're not my dad, you know. But we worked through that redemption idea, and God continued to work everything. And I think he's doing the same in your families too. And so just hang in there, you know. And you have a head start that my family didn't, is that you're here being encouraged and letting you know and reminding you that God's family that he created for himself is a blended family. And all hope was not lost. Will you stand with me? I want to close in prayer, and we can go about our day in blenders or crockpots. God, we thank you for being a God of love and grace and mercy and great patience. And whether we're a traditional family, whether we're a single family, whether we're a blended family, whatever the context of our family, God, you love us. And you have empowered us through the Holy Spirit and through Christ to win and succeed in those situations. You have not turned your back. even though things may not have panned out the way we thought they would, even though things haven't panned out the way you expected them and originally designed them to, through Christ, you have given us great hope of redemption and forgiveness and restoration, that you work all things for your good and your glory, and that maybe while things might be seeming hopeless and all hope is lost at the moment, that we can look back and see that your hand is involved in the entire thing, and that we are never alone, and that we are never not loved by you. And God, may we fall back on that love and that grace that you provide through Christ. We thank you for this church and a place where we can come and be encouraged and empowered in our relationships. And God, we just so badly want to win for you and raise kids who love you with all their heart, soul, and mind. But it starts with us. Give us the strength and the patience and the power through your Holy Spirit to love you first. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.